Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump says he's directing Defense Secretary Hegseth to use all available funds to pay members of the military, despite the federal government shutdown. More shutdown disappointment for thousands of visitors to the nation's capital. The Smithsonian Museums will close tomorrow after running out of money to operate. After searching the rubble of the explosives factory that exploded yesterday in Tennessee and was destroyed with 18 workers missing, now tragic news.
We have recovered no survivors.
Humphreys County Sheriff Chris Davis. The Gaza ceasefire appears to be holding. The deadline for Hamas to release hostages and for Israel to release Palestinian prisoners is Monday morning Eastern Time. In the next phase of the ceasefire deal, Hamas is supposed to disarm. Senior Hamas official Bassem Naim telling Sky News,
"We are not going to be disarmed.
As long as," he says, "they're not sure if the ceasefire will lead to a self-governing state." This is ABC News. A legal effort to avert a client's potential death.
Luigi Mangione's pleaded not guilty to federal charges stemming from the death of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson last year. He could face the death penalty if he's convicted of killing Thompson during another crime of violence, but his lawyers in a new filing say that charge that makes him eligible for the death penalty should be dismissed. They say that other crime, stalking, is not a violent crime and therefore does not meet the legal standard. Brian Clark, ABC News, New York.
One of the U.S.'s longest-standing pieces of environmental law credited with helping save rare whales from extinction is the target for cutbacks of Republican lawmakers. The Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972 protects whales, seals, polar bears, and other sea animals, and it places restrictions on commercial fishermen and shippers. It has long been opposed by conservatives and industry members. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.5 WLAK.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Policy experts are urging Congress to extend Affordable Care Act tax credits. They're warning that premiums could more than double if there's no action taken. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
Policy experts are calling on Congress to not only extend the Affordable Care Act tax credits, but to address the broader issue of rapidly rising health care costs that threaten to crush hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites. Angela Hanks with the nonprofit Century Foundation says many are now faced with a worsening health care affordability crisis caused by deliberate policy choices in Congress. Legislation passed over the summer would result in up to 15 million people losing Medicaid or health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, with enhanced ACA tax credits set to expire at the end of the year.
We've put that as an average enrollee paying over $1,000 more next year for their health care if Congress takes no action this year.
An analysis from the foundation shows rural counties will be disproportionately affected, with enrollees potentially facing a 28% higher cost increase than those in urban areas. Wisconsin saw a record 18% jump in ACA marketplace enrollment this year. year, with more than 313,000 people purchasing a plan. Insurance companies have already reported their rates for the next year, projecting an average 18% increase in premiums for ACA plans across the board. That's the largest increase in more than 5 years. This means ACA enrollees face both rising premiums and the potential loss of tax credits that help make insurance affordable. Hank stresses that healthcare affordability is not a partisan issue, noting that more than 3/4 of Americans want to see the tax credits continue, including 2/3 of Republicans. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.5 WLAK.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs around 67. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 50. Slight chance of a shower, but windy on Sunday. We'll have cloudy skies and a high near 69. Sunday night, showers and breezy, a low of 50. Low 60s on Monday.
Right now, it's 62.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinier is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinier on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Double fisted right there, man. Saturday. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, and fellas, you know, doing John and Gordy again this past Thursday morning. And John was, he's like, I just love that educated educators talking education line. He's like, hey, I just love it. So, you know, it's good to know we've got a fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've got a few more. We got Jacob, the producer. We got Jacob's grandpa.
I was going to say, I forgot. Jacob's grandfather. That's
we
right.
got that. We got a few. We got Matt Damon's mom, Matt right? Damon's mom, We got your colleagues
in Finland.
Absolutely. The Finns are listening. You know, we've got a few. We've got a couple there, Tim. You know, don't sell yourself short.
No.
Don't fill your brain with all that negative self-talk.
I was making fun because I really enjoy Thursday mornings getting on with John and Gordy. And actually, Gordy was in Chicago for the protests, and Catherine Lake was guest hosting, and got to, you know, hang out with Catherine for a little bit. And Johnny, I reminded her that without Catherine Lake, Civic Media and Busted Pencils and, you know, where we are today wouldn't have happened without Catherine Lake. She was the one who
agreed.
Said, she's like, you guys are like the Car Talk of education, man. We got to get get you on more often and get you some more, you know, what do you want to say? Putting a little bit of a light on what we do here at Busted Pencils. So it was fun hanging out with Catherine, fun hanging out with John. Glad to know that they love the Educated Educators Talking Education. And
but Tim, with two guys with as much hot air as we have, all it took was somebody with a hot air balloon to come by and say, hey, these guys have hot air. I have a hot air balloon. Let's fly. And boy, did we ever. Catherine Lake, she did pump our tires. Hey, and give us some confidence and say, you know, keep talking about education because you guys say it so well. It's the bedrock of democracy. Mm. Right. And we have to be, if we're not talking about what's happening in our schools and we're having a political discussion about strengthening democracy, we're missing an important key facet of that. And we said, look, you're speaking our language here. That's what we're talking about. So, hey, the more we got together and talked, especially with Catherine, The more the magic happened. Hey,
yeah. Remember, you know, I said, love doing the podcast drops Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday. Love making sure that there's a full 1 hour Saturday show. But I don't think we I don't think we'd be able to do what it is we do had Catherine not said, you guys are doing 5 days a week live call-in radio for a while. And boy, that was, let's be honest, that was fun, but man, challenging to do. As you say, you know, kind of like thrown into the crucible there, and learn to you know, kind of roll with it and take things in. Well, you know, and here we are, the professional broadcasters that we are right now. Everybody out in civic media land listening is like, my goodness, I thought you guys were real pros. You know, come on. We're just some educated educators talking education. And now that we've added Jacob, chairman of the board, to the mix, watch out. Jacob, what do you, you know, I mean, you got big plans for us, don't you?
I've got a lot of big plans. I don't want to say anything. Okay, but
huge.
Let's just say we might get you guys with Ben Affleck. I'm just putting it out there. It's a possibility.
Whoa. Okay. Whoa.
Now, by that, I mean I'm going to send him an Instagram DM and we'll see. I don't, I probably not. But for the folks out there, I want them to get hyped about possibilities down down the way.
Get. I mean, he's definitely an educated guy who likes to talk about education. So I'm sure it'd be great conversation.
We need to expand our pool of potential guests. Yeah. We can get anybody.
Everybody, get everybody in the pool. Let's go.
Get
it's a
your
pool
trunks.
Party. Jacob's throwing.
Yes. I don't know. As long as there's no peeing in the pool, though.
You
know?
Then I'm not going.
Oh, boy. There we go.
Well, but, you know, we do have that pool, though, that if that happens, it turns purple. So, you know.
You've got the gotcha pool?
Yeah, we got the gotcha pool. You know, that pool that they tell you, it was a little kid. They're like, if you pee in this pool.
Well, speaking, though, Tim, speaking about peeing in pools and also speaking about just getting thrown into the crucible of things. You know, I can remember getting thrown into the crucible of school.
Oh,
at the ripe young age of almost turning. I think I was probably five. I don't think I was quite yet the appropriate age for what we're talking about today. Well, tangent to what we're talking about today. But Tim, this week we've kicked the story around a little bit here at Busted Pencils. Mm-hmm. It's certainly been mulled over in the media. Mm-hmm. And I bet you even like John and Gordy and other shows have, you know, tickled this story a bit, have touched on what's happening in New York with kindergarten, not just any old kindergarten though, because in New York, many, you know, for all you New Yorkers listening, especially you Manhattan Island, like the Manhattaners, right? You know about that. You start pretty much before you even have kids in New York. And it's not, it's like this in other places too. There are certain elite preschools and early year education classrooms, to be specific, in New York. There's a guy picking on what's called gifted kindergarten education. So Tim, I thought maybe we should just talk about that today, get into things happening in New York, because it's not only in New York City. Mm-hmm. That kindergartners are increasingly evaluated, but there's this whole thing where we start sorting and calling kids in particular gifted. And I'm not picking on you if you're out there and say, hey, wait a minute, but I'm gifted. You know, don't worry. We're not here to bully you.
Johnny,
everybody's got their own unique contributions and gifts.
We're all gifted. On Busted Pencils.
Technically, by definition, though, if we're going like street level definition, I agree. Like, we all bring unique characteristics to the conversation. I'm bringing hot air. But the whole point of this, though, is there is an operational definition for, you know, some districts call it talented and gifted, or extraordinary talent, or gifted programs. Accelerated programs is another term for these particular tracks that start as early as preschool and kindergarten. And it's been in the headlines this week. So I thought, hey, let's chop it up a bit. Let's talk about, one, what's happening in New York, and then two, you know, our early memories of, you know, testing or not testing into talented and gifted programs. You know, they might carry some scars with us into that conversation. But really, we've been talking about testing, Tim. We've been talking about that. And this story runs tangent to it. So I thought, well, let's get into it with our listeners.
Put it out there. Okay, what we're talking about is, yes, in New York City. New York City, there's a mayoral race going on. Who's going to be the next mayor of New York City?
Ooh, bold prediction.
Yeah, you know, and Zohran Mamdani is going to be the Democratic nominee for mayor, having won the Democratic primary, beating Mario Cuomo. However, Mario Cuomo is going to remain in the race as an independent.
Or perhaps his son, Andrew Cuomo.
Okay.
It may be his son, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and not Mario Cuomo from the 80s and 90s.
Sorry, Jacob. I had a back to the future moment or something like that. Yes.
Hold on. Tim's got to go crank up his Model T.
Andrew Cuomo. Yes. Is not going to accept the Democratic defeat and is going to run as an independent. Republican, not exactly sure. However, Zohran Mamdani won pretty decisively, has a lot of support, running as a Democrat, and has, you know, also pointed out that he's actually a Democratic socialist. If anybody wants to know what that means, Bernie Sanders is probably our best example of a Democratic socialist. We're not going to do a whole lot
of AOC.
Would AOC, I think AOC. Yeah, AOC too.
Champion. I like what she champions. I like those ideas.
Yeah, but Mamdani is, you know, pointing out some things that people are really excited about. However, his proposal is, Johnny, to do away with the gifted and talented kindergarten program in New York City. And you were alluding to that. Wow, why would he do that? And boy, there's like so many different ways to talk about this, because is it testing? Is it right? And as you pointed out, I mean, some people prepare their kids neonatally to get ready to be accepted into the gifted kindergarten program in New York City, because it's like a major lottery win to get into this kind of things, where it will set your future up in ways that are kind of incredible. And so this is one of the program proposals that isn't going over well with New York City liberal elites.
New York City!
There he is again. So the liberal elites do not like this program, pointing it out there. So
I don't like it either, Tim. I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and with my fellow New Yorkers out there, I'm, you know, if you're ruffled about this, you got to take a closer look. I'm against it, so I'm excited to get in. I mean, I'm against gifted programs. I'm a big fan of acts in these things, so I'm kind of excited about seeing this movement and this conversation for a number of reasons, but I'm glad that it's happening, and especially in New York. I mean, I think it's a great place to just drop the hammer on this. You know, I think it's like if we're going to end a practice that I think, you know, I hate to pick on it, but my entire time teaching, I was never really a big fan of these programs, these tracks. So we could get into it, but no, I especially am not a fan for, you know, any determinant factor at age 5-6 years old, you know, other than, do you know where to put the pee yet or not? Right. Those kinds of things. Do you eat crayons in the pool? Do you eat crayons and glue? No. Okay, good. Are you learning the alphabet? You like to sing songs and, you know, you're learning to get along with others. Great. Let's get together with other people around that same age and some of the best teachers in the country, those kindergarten teachers out there. And we learn to learn together. So I'm not a huge fan of the increased testing and sorting mechanisms. that are pretty closely wed to these talented and gifted programs. So I'm excited to hear that we're thinking about giving them the axe places.
Wow. Johnny Lupinacci dropping a hammer.
New York City!
Man, and a bowling ball. What, you know what? Right out there. I got to tell you, though, if you're wondering where Tim and Jacob are on this, well, when we get back, we're going to talk to Jacob, chairman of the board, when we get back.
Choo choo!
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wow. Because they're back already. Yep. Educated educators talking education. Well, you know what that means. Busted pencils. Civic Media Saturday. If you're listening in your car, if you're listening on your radio somewhere, you know, we appreciate it. Downloaders, we love that you also are participating whenever you can. It is, yeah, the 1 hour show. Gifted and talented. We're talking about New York City. Johnny, go ahead.
New York City!
There it is. Yes, that place. And the Democratic nominee for mayor, Zohran Mamdani, is proposing to do away with the elite kindergarten gifted program. You got to hear where Johnny Lupinacci was. He's like, good for him, man. We need to do that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Like, I champion love it. This.
And yep. And I said, well, you know, you haven't heard.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on this one, man.
You haven't heard from Tim and Jacob. And I was like, okay, before me, how about Jacob, chairman of the board? Jacob, what are you thinking about this? And, you know, how's this sitting in your bird's nest?
Well, over here in my nest, Tim, I think it's easy for you and Johnny to be critical because you guys were not talented or gifted as children. But for me, I was one of these talented, gifted children. I went to a cool magnet elementary school, and then I got invited to the gifted accelerated elementary school in my city where I'm from. And the same thing in middle school. I was accepted into the gifted accelerated thing. Now, I will say that I turned down both of those opportunities because I liked my friends. So I don't know if they actually work. I went there briefly, and then I said, I'm okay. I like the normal people back at the normal school.
So you dropped out of giftedness.
I did. Well, no, I didn't drop out of being gifted. I'm still awesome. But I'm more of a working man's guy. So I stuck with my blue-collar scholar crew back at the real school.
All right.
And so for me, this proposition, I like the idea of not having these cloistered clusters of the gifted. I think everybody cloistered should be clusters. Together.
Yes.
That's the name of this episode, cloistered clusters.
Oh, my God.
But maybe you could say, well, that's all well and good for you to say that after you had these opportunities and squandered them. Don't take it away from other people. But I think overall it's good for everybody to be in one good public school. That's my
thought. Okay. Yeah. So bigger, broader issue here. So as Johnny said, yes, I'm not going to say where this is happening again, but gifted and talented, you know, I know some people who would criticize gifted and talented at any age, because typically the assessment made to determine that has largely been some form of a numerical standardized test. And we've come a long way in recognizing that children, people have all kinds of ways to demonstrate intelligence, giftedness. In fact, you know, we had Howard Gardner on the show a few months back talking about multiple intelligences. And, you know, and so when you say somebody's gifted, how do you make that determination? So any of these gifted programs, if you're a gifted advocate out there, you know, definitely leave some voicemails for us and some emails, because we'd gladly like to talk to you. But I'm always just, that's my biggest issue, is the narrowness of the determination. And then though too, when we talk about, Johnny, you pointed out 5-year-olds and actually 4 years old in a lot of kids, because they're rushing to get them in. And so a lot of parents will enroll their kids at age 4 if they qualified. Can a 4-year-old demonstrate giftedness on some form of a standardized assessment? And is that a valid score? And if a 4-year-old can't score gifted, is that really an assessment that they're not gifted? Because when they develop a little bit more a few years later, all of a sudden, holy crap, we missed them. And so do they get out there? I think there's a whole bunch of issues here, you know, gifted and talented as even a specialness that certain kids should get this extra attention, more opportunity, however you want to describe whatever it was you gifted and talented people got when you left the classroom and left the rest of us blue collar kids to hang out and listen to teachers drone on. But kindergarten, that's another issue that I think is incredibly important to point out, that I'm kind of really skeptical of identifying any 4- and 5-year-old as gifted. And I'm even more skeptical of saying to kids they're not at that age. The proposal here, Johnny, actually, when we dig in deep, just to make sure that we're accurate, is actually to only do away with the kindergarten gifted program, to phase back in, though, a 3rd grade acceptance into gifted programs in New York City. And so, you know, I think we got some issues. Is it too young to make a determination at that age? The blowback, as we say, the liberal elites in New York City are absolutely up in arms by this. See this as an affront. And I'm going to point out to go, of course they do, because this is a privilege that they have for so long kind of hoarded and taken up for themselves. And as you pointed out, how is it that you determine somebody's gifted in kindergarten? Well, there's usually a lot of extra resources that parents bring in birth until the age of 4 and 5 that a lot of other kids don't have the opportunity to have. So there's a whole big issue there. Jacob, I'm sorry you dropped out of giftedness. I never had the chance because I failed that test. And, you know, more though, man, lots to go on. Can't wait for Johnny Lupinacci to come back and really tell us how horrible giftedness is. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump says he's directing Defense Secretary Hegseth to use all available funds to pay members of the military, despite the federal government shutdown. More shutdown disappointment for thousands of visitors to the nation's capital. The Smithsonian Museums will close tomorrow after running out of money to operate. After searching the rubble of the explosives factory that exploded yesterday in Tennessee and was destroyed with 18 workers missing, now tragic news.
We have recovered no survivors.
Humphreys County Sheriff Chris Davis. The Gaza ceasefire appears to be holding. The deadline for Hamas to release hostages and for Israel to release Palestinian prisoners is Monday morning Eastern Time. In the next phase of the ceasefire deal, Hamas is supposed to disarm. Senior Hamas official Bassem Naim telling Sky News,
"We are not going to be disarmed.
As long as," he says, "they're not sure if the ceasefire will lead to a self-governing state." This is ABC News.
A showdown in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers and Cubs square off for Game 5 tonight. The winner will advance to the National League Pennant Series against the Dodgers next week. Last night, Pat Murphy telling reporters he'll likely go with a variety of pitchers from the Brewers bullpen, including Jacob Mizorowski, Aaron Ashby, and Quinn Priester. College football homecoming today in Madison. The Wisconsin Badgers hosting the Iowa Hawkeyes. And tomorrow in Green Bay, it's the Packers against the Bengals and newly acquired quarterback Joe Flacco. Xavier McKinney on facing Flacco a second time this season when he was with the Browns.
I was actually thinking about kind of the other way around of kind of what he saw from us the very first, when he was with the Browns, what he's already kind of seen us do. So I was thinking about just kind of ways that he might try to come into this game having different players and a different scheme.
That's Packers safety Xavier McKinney with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Normally, I prefer to see movies in the theater, but we'll have to rethink that when Minecraft 2 comes out. Variety reports a Minecraft sequel is in the works after the first flick made almost $1 billion worldwide. Not sure if you remember or heard this, but there is a zombie chicken baby scene that made teenage boys do very gross things in the movie theater. You might want to sit that one out and wait for it to stream. Minecraft 2 is scheduled to hit theaters July 23rd of 2027. Variety is also reporting that Bradley Cooper is in talks to star in the prequel of the Ocean's 11 franchise. The film will be set before the first Steven Soderbergh version of Ocean's 11 in 2001. This franchise is a remake of the original Ocean's 11 from 1960 that starred Frank Sinatra and some of his Rat Pack pals. The new film is rumored to be set in 1960s Europe. Margot Robbie is already on board to play the female lead. They are really milking this ocean thing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs around 67. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 50. Slight chance of a shower, but windy on Sunday. We'll have cloudy skies and a high near 69. Sunday night, showers and breezy, a low of 50. Low 60s on Monday.
Currently, 63 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down till we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire talks about her proposals to provide better support for higher education in our state.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Man, I love coming into the third segment here because it's where we get to really drone on busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. New York City, mayoral
New York
candidate,
City!
There, mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani has proposed eliminating the gifted kindergartner program in New York City. We have gone all kinds of different directions talking about this. However, so if you do away with it, then what would take its place? And there was a point, Johnny, I was wondering if I can get your reaction to this, saying, okay, if you're going to get rid of it, then you need to level up the game for all kindergartners to make sure that every kindergartner in New York City gets every opportunity to demonstrate how awesome they are. And then we will maybe consider letting you do away with the gifted program. What do you think?
No, I think I like where you're going with that, Tim. I think, you know, people are very reactive to Zohran's, proposal here to cut, like you said, cut the gifted kindergarten programs. Because I think if we look big picture, you know, his stance and policies proposed on education emphasize universal child care, right? And so he's pledged, you know, to really work hard towards a free universal child care system, which would benefit all students. And so, you know, I think that early start, those early interventions for any kid in New York are more important and arguably have a bigger impact than, you know, sorting. And I like that you emphasize really the critique of the gifted kindergarten program isn't to, you know, end all gifted programs or end all accelerated instruction, but just saying, you know, hey, I don't think we should subject 4 and 5 year olds to a single high stakes assessment, right? It unfairly separates them at a young age, right? And so so then what do you do if you're not going to have these sorting mechanisms in place? Well, then you got to have something where the standard comes up. And I think that's there in the proposed, you know, policies, primarily around universal childcare and emphasizing public school funding. Like where is that going to happen in our public schools? Well, who's paying for that? The public, right? That's the whole socialist Democrat platform, right? That's that idea here that, there's a strong social responsibility of the government to adequately fund public schools and especially to provide childcare, right? And I know that runs antithetical to what a lot of critics of not only Zohran, but of socialist democracies have. They say, well, that's not the job of the government. That's the job of parents, right? And so if parents aren't providing it, then that's on them. Shame on them. And sorry, kid, that's what you get for being born where you're born. So those are two very different, distinct sets of beliefs. A belief that no matter what you're born into, school, you know, funded properly by government, provides you with a base that gives you opportunities. right, that you can work in, that you have a quality education, and that starts early. So universal childcare. But Tim, you nailed it. The critics, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're, you know, critics of the social responsibility of governments to fund schools, or they're critics even within that, dare we say, like liberal critics that are saying, wait, that impacts our kids' education, right? And you're trying to prioritize equity at the expense of students who need advanced instruction, right? AKA my kids, powerful elite parent that has, you know, probably left-leaning views when it's popular, mm-hmm. right? And in public settings are like, yes, I am a good Democrat, but not when it comes to taking resources and away from my kid and allocating them across other kids whose parents it's their responsibility for them, right? And there's a slippery slope Woo. Into a shared critique. So, hey, really great to offer our listeners, you know, we'll plug no sponsorship here in connection, though would love to have a conversation with the folks that made the podcast I'm about to recommend. There's a great podcast on NPR, right, called Nice White Parents. And it's about affluent parents in New York City. Ooh. And it's really telling to the power and the politics of public schools in New York City, which have a long history, even in the public school sector, of not being so equitable, but championing a message of equity. So it's a great podcast called Nice White Parents. It isn't only talking about white folks. You know, they do a great job of saying just this is more about affluent New York culture, mm-hmm. right? That also has a strong tinge of whiteness to it historically. Here, but, you know, really looks at, well, do we really care about kids or do we mostly care about our own kids? Mm-hmm. And those things start to contradict when you look at things like, hey, we are going to invest in a public education system that provides, you know, a high floor mm-hmm. for every single kid. And I'll even pump Zoran's tires a little more here too and say his policies align in this spirit all the way through higher ed. He's a strong advocate that like City University in New York, CUNY, our colleagues are there, man. I have friends who went to grad school there doing amazing work in education. He believes that if you're a New York City kid, right, that school should be free of tuition for you to attend.
Okay.
And I know a lot of New Yorkers who believe that. And I know some who are going to think, no way. I had to pay my way through there. So the next generation should also have to pay. It's like, hey, hold on, right? Let's practice what we preach, right? If you believe in strong democracy, you believe in educational equity, you believe especially in, and we'll go away from the higher ed example and back to children, that kids should be given an opportunity to make the most of whatever situation they're in. Well, then you do that through strong public school systems. And I like this idea that the gifted kindergarten program, mm-hmm. you know, let's get rid of that in lieu of making sure every kindergartner or every preschooler or every young person has a great start.
Can I ask a question?
Jacob.
Oh, sorry, Tim, do you want to go?
No.
Okay, please. Here's my question. Well, if we're in New York City and we've got the youngest Rockefeller and we've got little young Johnny Lupinacci, the youngest Rockefeller, if he thinks he's gifted or he's an elite, he wants to go to a nice school, he can go to Andover Prep like George Bush and his parents can pay for that. But the gifted program is here to help a guy who doesn't have a lot of money get that same sort of treatment to go through the system. Is that not true or am I missing something on that?
I'm going to take a different spin on that for you, Jacob, and see if this makes sense with your question. Johnny points out something that actually you'd say, okay, wealth and what wealth can provide. You're absolutely right, Jacob. You know, rich people have options. They don't have to rely on the New York City public schools, right? But what's happened over time here with this New York City gifted kindergarten program it in and of itself has become its own kind of exclusive place for special people and special families, that it's kind of gotten its own sense of whatever, you know, awesome prep school that you could go to. Getting accepted as a kindergarten to the New York City gifted program maybe is just as good, maybe even better than some of the more private elite schools. But, you know, to point out, how would you actually make kindergarten, you know, equitable? Well, it's going to take funding. And first of all, I'm going to point out and make this some form of a speculation, just in case I'm wrong. But the amount of wealth that's concentrated in the roughly 1,500 to 2,000 kids that get into gifted and talented kindergarten in New York City, they probably have enough money to fully fund incredibly awesome kindergarten, and so that it would be great for all public kids. But I'm going to bet they would never want to do that, because the reality is that what makes this program the way it is and why people are so ruffled is because it was an exclusivity, a special place that had kind of created its own sense of, you know, this is mine, this is ours, and you're taking away something special for us that actually gave our kids extended privileges. And the reality is that, Johnny, you're right. What I care about is my kid. And so I'm not going to fully fund equitable, awesome education for all kids, because then my kid would just be one of all kids, and my kid ain't one of all kids. Jacob, does that help?
I don't have any kids, so I have no horse in this race. What I could tell you, Dr. Tim, is that as an incredibly gifted person myself, I think that this treatment should be extended in as much as possible to all kindergartners, and especially at those the younger levels. I think it's crazy that you would break people up like that. Kids should have a nice, good standard of education.
Well, and here's the thing, Tim, even though I'm going to be, you know, more advocating for, I'm not sure that these programs should exist at all. All right. That's a little extreme. In the case of New York City, there just is overwhelmingly strong evidence that you can't determine this.
Yeah.
In kindergarten. Right. So they're saying, like, hey, let's just put a pause on all these programs till third grade.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe then they're saying, like, hey, third grade, there is an appropriate, time in which, you know, the assessments, I'm going to pluralize that. So hopefully it's not just, you know, take this one test and here you go, you're in the accelerated program. But the assessments say, hey, there's a need here for some accelerated learning for a group of students, and they're going to be served in a different capacity and, you know, in this particular grouping. And again, I'm not a big fan of it. That's probably controversial, even in a agree to disagree kind of way. I could be wrong about this thing. I'll admit that. But what seems to be, you know, consensus, and we lean on that a lot here.
There we go.
Is that you can't determine this in kindergarten. So no one's telling the parent, you know, that's against this, say, hey, but my kid's gifted, you know. It's like, well, actually, we don't necessarily know that in a very real way until maybe later in their educational career, and they'll still have those opportunities ahead of them. But for now, like, they're just kind of like all the other kids, and keep doing the great work that you're doing, because, yep, they know their ABCs a little bit faster than maybe their neighbor does. Great. Let's get them all together, keep them together for a few years, and see what happens.
My neighbor. You bringing up my neighbor, Johnny Lupinacci.
Uh-oh.
Watch out.
You got a neighbor in New York City.
I got to tell you, though, you're talking about my kid, and my kid, Johnny, is gifted and is special. Oh, I don't know. What are we going to do with all of these smart kindergartners? Maybe we'll figure it out when we get back.
Re-
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving, and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. A shared message from the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
And welcome back to our True Crime Podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Bam, 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 bam. Woo! Man. You guys thought there was an extra guitar. That was Johnny Lupinacci. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Ripping through the scales.
Ripping through. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators. Talking education. Talking gifted education. More specifically, New York City kindergarten giftedness. Democratic nominee for mayor Zohran Mamdani is proposing to do away with gifted kindergartening. Man, we've had a discussion kind of all over the place on this. I'm going to guess, though, that between all three of us that we are really, you know, adamantly and very strongly saying, like, hold on, kindergarten, no. We got to at least stop the sorting and give these kids a little bit more time to potentially developmentally, you know, show some things that maybe a four-year-old isn't showing, but maybe when they're eight, holy crap. Can I say that we all agree you can't tell if a kindergartner is gifted, or maybe you can, but maybe you can't know kids who will be gifted. potentially is what we're saying. How's that?
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Okay.
Leave Jacob? The children alone, Tim. They're just trying to eat their paste and learn their letters. We don't have to treat all the kindergartners like Russian figure skaters and drill them from the time they're born into these perfect products.
Nice. Yeah, agreed. Let the utes be utes.
Exactly.
What is it, David Bowie? And these children that you spit on, you got, come on, nobody can finish that?
Well, I was hoping you could because you just said the weirdest part.
Well, you know, we're talking about Changes, an incredibly awesome song. It was the ending quote of The Breakfast Club. David Bowie, the lyrics from Changes. These children that you spit on as they try to change their world. Come on.
Are immune to your consultations?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, right?
But you don't sound like David Bowie, can't you? Do you have
I don't have a David Bowie voice. No, I can't. I got a good neighbor voice, but I don't have a David Bowie voice. Sorry about that.
Right before the changes.
There, see, Johnny's got that voice. They're kids, you know, as you said, Jacob. My God, what are we doing? If anything, let's really take seriously childhood and acknowledge that every 4-year-old, if that's when they're gonna start kindergarten or 5-year, deserves a gifted education regardless of what their standardized test score might be later on in life, because we're talking about early childhood experiences, and there is nothing in the research that says you get anything but benefit when you provide more and more opportunity the younger and younger the kids are. And you know,
early interventions, man.
That's it, Johnny. You point out about this all the time. It's an investment too. I mean, you know what?
Yeah.
Make kindergarten great again. There we go. What do you guys think?
Well, Jake? You know, we talked about it when we talked about the importance of Sesame Street and really great shows like that. I mean, it's all pours into our childcare system, right? And the more we support caring about children.
I'll try to get those Make Kindergarten Great Again hats ready for the next week. So I'll see what we can do in the merch department.
Make Kindergarten. That doesn't come off like a MAGA or a MAHA.
doesn't flow off the tongue so well.
Oh, I think, Johnny, to point out too, like, this happens too, is that this will end up becoming an issue for people that they make their voting decision on. And the reality is, here's like, you want to be a great democratic citizen. There isn't any politician who's going to tick every box for you. It's kind of looking at this because, Johnny, actually his proposal, as you point out, for early childhood healthcare and things like that. Come on, man. I think you're right. If he pulls that off, wow, can you imagine the what they call kindergarten readiness? Can you imagine how many more kids would be, quote, ready for kindergarten? Wow. I don't know. So much more, though. But you know what time it is, though, Johnny? It's time for your moment of zen. You do things again and again, and nothing happens. It requires patience, but not a passive patience, the patience of activism.
Thanks, listeners, for being patient with us today and listening to the broadcast. Remember to grab great podcasts chocked full with all kinds of fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And of course, you can always find us at the Civic Media website or on our website, bustedpencils.com. And don't you dare be late for homeroom on Monday. And make sure you catch next week's class and session on Wednesday. And you can always find us on Friday for producer Jacob's choice And just like today, you can tune in and listen to Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson, saying he's directing Defense Secretary Hegseth to use all available funds to pay members of the military on their next payday this Wednesday. President Trump, despite the federal government shutdown, military personnel still have to go to work, paycheck or no. The Smithsonian Museums will close tomorrow after running out of money to operate, say museum officials. All 18 workers missing since yesterday's explosion at an explosives factory in Tennessee are presumed dead, says Humphrey.
On the Badger Sports Network, from Learfield. This is your home for Wisconsin football.
Still loose. The Badgers cover it up.